everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Rock and Retrospect. I'm your host, Nick Bambeck. Today, we're going to be discussing the 2023 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees. I got an all-star panel, all returning guests, among my favorite people. First up, we're going to introduce Michelle Berg. How's it going, Michelle?
It's great, thanks. Good to be here. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Michelle has the iconic talk show blog, and she's written some wonderful pieces about Estelle Axon and many other people that we have talked about on the show. She was on our Carly Simon episode, our Kennedy Center episodes.
Oh, yes.
And I think her, Jonathan, helped get Carly into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And hey, Jonathan, if you're listening to, by the way. Next up, we got Greg Purak. Greg was on a Kennedy Center episode with Michelle, but he was also on other episodes, most notably our Joe Cocker episode, and he reacted to the ballot results last year. How's it going, Greg?
Very good, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. And you're going to be happy because someone from Detroit is on the ballot. I think actually multiple people. So
multiple, yeah.
So you're going to be really happy with this ballot results when I read them. Next up, we have David Schnellwar, who was on our Sheryl Crow episode, and he was on with this panel to discuss the 2022 inductees, and he was also on our draft episode. How's it going, David?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me again.
Anytime. David was a writer-editor at Gold Derby, and yeah, he's got so much knowledge of award shows and about the music and entertainment industry, so it's always a pleasure to have David on, too. Last but not least, like I think like you have to have the record at this point in time. You've been on so many episodes, but I love having you on. The listeners love you, so you'll always be around. And that's a spoiler probably for the one of the nominees this year. We got the great Tom Lane, who's on Spinners, Teddy Pendergrass, country music, just so many episodes. I can't even count on one hand anymore. How's it going, Tom?
Oh, great to be back, Nick.
Thank you. I'm always happy to have Tom. He was on the season premiere with Teddy Pendergrass. Really wonderful episode. Hopefully he gets to talk more about Teddy Pendergrass. He has a little bit of a resurgence. Fingers crossed. Now, today we're going to be talking about the 2023 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ballot and who was nominated this year. It's on February 1st, and we're recording the day of the announcement. And I think that's really fun. And I like to do it a little bit removed from when the announcement happens, because there's a lot that could happen in terms of developments and quotes and just our thoughts to process a little bit better. So we're recording this the night of the announcement. So we're about like, I don't know, like 12 hours removed from when they first said the ballot. So these, well, first of all, I'm going to do our draft results. So let's see, so Michelle, I asked to be on the show, but Michelle was sick, so we couldn't have Michelle on, which made me sad, by the way, because we love Michelle.
I was sad,
and then and then we paid tribute to you. We like lit a candle. We were just like, I was very sad though, because I was curious who you were gonna pick, and then I was gonna ask you off the rack, like if you want to say who were some of the artists that you were thinking of picking for this draft if you were feeling better.
I think at the time I was still so in flux. It's a funny year when the consensus choice is Kate Bush. I think she was the little go space on my bingo card.
Yeah.
I really didn't get my thoughts in order until last weekend. I finally did a blog. I put my thoughts out there. I think I got 5 right, so I'm pretty proud.
You go, Michelle. I think I got like 5 or 6 too, and I was like, I literally almost called my blog, and I'm gonna just make you laugh for a sec. I almost, when I did my prediction blog last week, I called it almost throwing darts at the dartboard, and then I saw you wrote that, and I was like, oh, I can't use that title. That's what it is essentially. You don't know what it's gonna be.
I think you got 6. You may have won.
I don't know. I feel like other people probably did better than me. It was like a weird ballot, to be quite honest. But so the way the draft worked, and we had Mark on the show, who isn't here tonight, but we do have a point system. So we each had 5 picks. It was Tom, David, Craig, Mark, and myself. And you got 3 points if it was a newly eligible artist nominated their first year of eligibility. You got 2 points if it was a first-time nominee, so an artist that had been already eligible but is their first time on a ballot. And then 1 point for a previously nominated artist. So do you guys know who won?
You.
I did somehow. And I like, and it was throwaway picks on my part. So of course I went with Missy Elliott. So I got 3 points for that. And then I got a point for Soundgarden. Even though on my blog, I was pretty much like, I don't know about Soundgarden. I don't like, I want to choose them, but I think it's gonna be Rage Against the Machine. And then they both made the ballot. So what do I know? And then Iron Maiden was kind of the token metal pick because no one picked metal. So I got 5 points total. And then Mark had second place because he had 3 points because he had Kate Bush, who was previously nominated. And then he got 2 points for Willie Nelson because he's never been nominated until today. And then the rest, then David, Greg, and Tom each had 2 points each because David had Cyndi Lauper, Greg had George Michael, and Tom had Sheryl Crow. But yeah, the host wins. So I don't know. Like, I don't know how to feel about that. Like, you guys may never come back now.
The 1 year I don't pick the Spinners to get on the
bench. That was the...
You picked Kool & the Gang, though, from what I remember. So you were like in
in that 70s R&B orbit, yeah.
I was so happy to see your beloved Spinners on the ballot this year. And that leads me to introduce the 2023 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees. In case if you don't know, you might live under a rock. I don't know. If you listen to the podcast, you probably follow the Rock Hall. But the nominees are Kate Bush, Sheryl Crow, Missy Elliott, Iron Maiden, Joy Division / New Order, Cyndi Lauper, George Michael, Willie Nelson, Rage Against the Machine, Soundgarden, The Spinners, A Tribe Called Quest, The White Stripes, and Warren Zevon. Now, for an artist to be eligible for the ballot, we thought it was 1997 when it had to be their first year that their record came out, but apparently now it could have been 1998 because I will say no one expected the White Stripes because we thought it had to be 25 full years. So we thought they were actually going to be eligible next year with the likes of Lauryn Hill and Britney Spears and Coldplay. But I guess they just threw the rules out and redid them and didn't bother to tell anyone until this morning. And everyone was surprised to see the White Stripes. What was your guys' reaction to like that development or that change? Happening, because I don't think anyone predicted that and no one saw that coming.
Well, wasn't there an article a couple days before where I don't know what where it was in a Billboard or something where there was kind of they kind of alluded to some sort of nominating process change that was coming. I think the Hall said something about that.
Was it on Vulture? I think so.
Yeah. So
they said
I thought maybe they were going to go 25 years to 20 years or some weird stuff like that. But
they're going to snub Beyonce.
I'm still shocked to see the White Stripes listed on there.
I know. I was like getting text messages and DMs and emails from people like confused. And I'm like, I don't know. And then I asked Neil of Future Rock Legends because I was like, I had to make somewhat sense of this for the recording tonight. And we were both a little stumped and we were talking a little bit about it. And we were kind of like getting these developments throughout the, as they were happening sort of. And yeah, it's just like, what? And I mean, I love the White Stripes. We're going to talk so much about them, but like, I don't think anyone saw that coming, like at least that they were going to be eligible because really the big FYE artists were really Destiny's Child and Missy Elliott. And then, you know, there's Muse and there's Queens of Stone Age, but those were really the two that people were actively picking. And I know David had Destiny's Child, which I'm shocked they didn't like want to nominate Beyonce as soon as she could have been inducted into the Rock Hall. But, you know, I don't know. Like, were like Greg or Michelle or Dave, were you guys like genuinely shocked to see them have that rule change, I guess, for the eligibility years?
Oh, absolutely. You know, no one, like you said, no one saw that coming. It does make sense the way I heard it explained this morning, because as I heard it, you know, usually the nominating committee meets at the end of the prior year. Mm-hmm. So if they had met in December of 2022, 25 years ago is 97, this is the first year they've actually met in January. So now it is 2023, and 25 years prior is 98. And it's just that COVID really screwed up the whole calendar. And so they had to do sort of a catch up at some point. And it's just funny that they didn't announce that it was going to happen. It just, because I initially saw Future Rock Legends tweet with the list of nominees, and my eyes went right to the White Stripes. And I was like, what the hell? They're not eligible, you know? And then I thought, well, maybe they had a single I didn't know about, you know, prior the year before or something like that. There must be some loophole. And then when I heard this morning them explain it, you know, it makes sense
that we didn't know about.
Yeah some compilation that they appeared on,
small
or
label,
yeah.
From Detroit.
right
yeah,
but it does make sense now, because now it just is, because it always was technically 26 years if you were looking from the year of their induction to back, you know. So now it just makes it a clean 25 and easy to calculate.
Yeah, and I think it made sense, but then at the same time I was thinking, like, shit, this is really terrible for someone like Coldplay. And I will say this, but very minimal effort, but Coldplay should have absolutely been inducted the first year, because they're the biggest band of this century. Like, they could still sell out, they could still have top 10 hits. Like, I don't know. Like, so I feel bad for artists like of 1988 that kind of got the shaft a little because of this. And it's like, I don't know. But now watch Coldplay be nominated next year. And I'll be like, okay, fine. Like, in my heart, they'll be FYE inductees. Yeah.
Coldplay and Lauryn Hill were the two that, you know, you felt were certain to be first year nominees, and they kind of lost out on that. But
they just did.
I don't understand why they only nominated one if they were going to make such a rule change. To me, the whole time, I'm just confused by it.
Yeah, that's actually a good point, because me and David talked about this earlier, and I was kind of thinking the same thing. It's like, because they went with less in nominees than they normally do, because there's usually the standard 15, and they went with 14 this year, but the last few years it was like 17 and then 19 and 16. It's been very schizophrenic.
Yeah, this is the smallest list since 2010, I believe I heard.
Yeah.
It's been at least a decade in terms of like how short it is. I mean, it's a great list, like the 14 names I read off, but it's like, you know, then you think to yourself, like, wow, like there was a room for like Lauryn Hill or Coldplay, or like, even we didn't bring up her name, but like Britney Spears, or people that were now like snubbed. It's just weird to me, almost, quite honestly.
I just chalked it up to the Rock Hall being the Rock Hall.
I know. They always get the last laugh and the final verdict. And sometimes it's good. Most of the time,
wouldn't
it's
be
not.
An induction season without something silly happening.
Oh, yes.
It's so funny when they decide they can change their own rules. This morning, they're just like, oh, we're going to do this. But if it comes to making a veterans committee, or putting somebody, oh, we have to use a side category because we have to do this Band-Aid way to get bands in that aren't getting, we have no power to change that. Our hands are tied. Make up your mind.
Yeah, and I feel like the thing is that this is a Rick Grimm kind of like signal, almost, it feels like, because, you know, Rick Grimm replaced John Landau, who was the head of the nominating committee for so many years, I think like 30 years. In my lifetime, he was pretty much the head of the nominating committee. And it's such a bold kind of move in a way, because it kind of almost, like, it doesn't speed up who's eligible, but it kind of, I don't know. Does that make sense to everyone? It's almost like it kind of throws a curveball a little at it.
A little bit.
So,
especially with people who make predictions, it was definitely a curveball.
Oh, we got screwed, Tom and Michelle.
Yeah, I know.
We definitely got screwed on it. We're like, oh,
we need
shit.
An asterisk next to our predictions.
I think it devalues the whole emphasis on the first year eligible, though, because it's like, it's just so confusing that I think it's just more meaningful if you get inducted like first ballot, you know, just right away, first year nominated, we say,
yeah, right,
opposed to just eligible. So I mean, you go to the Hall, I don't think they talk about first year eligible or first year nominated, right? There's
no mention of that.
So it's just people who follow this too closely think that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I do want to get, because we're going to talk so much about the White Stripes nomination, but we're going to go through each of the 14 nominees. We're just going to kind of give our thoughts on the artists. It's an open forum, of course. If our listeners now and our guests, of course, now. But we'll spend a little bit of time talking about each nominee who is a prospective inductee for the class of 2023. We're just going to kind of have our, did we see them come in? What are their chances? Just kind of wherever the conversation takes us. And we're going to talk about, ironically, the artist that almost everyone had on their predictions, and that was Kate Bush. And we're going to go in alphabetical order, by the way, for listeners. So, yeah, we're going to talk about Kate Bush first. Like, that was the easiest one because Stranger Things, the Netflix phenomenon, helped repopularize her in a way because she had that hit Running Up That Hill. It was like a number three hit on the Billboard Hot 100 in the year 2022. And it's like nearly 40 years old. And I think we all saw this coming, right? With Kate.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Easy, it was the easiest call to make.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Kate has an uphill battle though for induction because, you know, like a lot of people I'm reading online are saying like, oh, she's a lock. She's a sure thing. This and that. As a performer, I don't know. Like, how do you guys feel?
Okay, go. You could go.
Go ahead.
No, it's just, it reminds me of how Chic with 11 nominations, and then Nile Rodgers was part of Get Lucky with Daft Punk and Pharrell Williams, and they won the top Grammys. And I remember thinking, like, oh, now this will put Chic over the top because the whole industry is watching this, and it didn't do it. So right. Nothing's guaranteed. I mean, there's going to be a lot more viral hits out there than the way we're living in social media era.
Yeah, I mean, if you had asked me this last summer, I would have said, "Oh, she's gonna get voted in this time around, real easy." I mean, all this publicity, everyone's knows her name now and knows the song and all this. But now, what is it like 6 months later since that Stranger Things came out? And I'm not so sure on the performers category anymore.
It's too steep of a ballot for her to stand out. And I always feel like, and this is something I would love to hear you guys take. I think if you're a previously nominated artist, you're always up against the wall in terms of like you had to have that like moment, almost like what David said with Chic with Get Lucky, which was like the biggest song of 2013. Like it won Grammys and Chic still couldn't get in. So even if you have momentum, it almost like doesn't really, guarantee that you'll resonate with the voters. And like Kate Bush is such a singular artist with a niche audience. Like, I can't see her going over some of the names on this list. Like, and she failed like three times already.
No.
Yeah. So, I think this is going to be the defining year. If she doesn't get in this year with all that momentum, then she's probably going to end up being a musical excellence recipient or something like that.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Cause if it's like now or never with her,
Get in this year, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. And although I do want her to come to a ceremony, I want to be in the same room as Kate Bush. I want her to take that boat from England to America cause she doesn't fly, you know, but, That needs to be its documentary series in its own right. Just Kate Bush traveling to the Rock Hall ceremony. But yeah, like I like Kate Bush, but I don't know about her chances. Like I would say it's very low considering the competition. Next up, we're going to talk about Sheryl Crow. Sheryl Crow, first time on the ballot. She's been eligible for like 4 years, I think 4 or 5 years, give or take.
Yeah.
So pretty big priority of the committee to put an artist within the first 5 years of their eligibility. I always think that, at least as someone who follows and talks about this a lot, like it's great to be nominated your first year, but if you're within that 5 year period, you're a big priority in their eyes. Do you guys have any thoughts on Sheryl Crow? I know David does because we did an episode on Sheryl Crow, and I did do an episode on Kate Bush too in the past, but they're not in this room, but I know David is. Well, actually, let's start with David. Like, David, were you surprised to see Sheryl's name on the ballot?
No, we expected it. It was almost like a campaign trail for her. She was at every music event you saw that was spotlighted on television. And she would be the first year nominated from the 90s if she gets inducted. Because we've yet to have that. We mostly had first year eligible inductees. And I'm not surprised. She's definitely one of the most accomplished females from come out of the 90s.
Yeah, she seemed to be everywhere last year. She had the documentary out.
Oh, yes, definitely the documentary helped.
Yeah, like David says, she was on like every show, it seemed like, every award show. In fact, like, she's going to be on the Grammys this weekend, too. So yeah. She's just everywhere, and she's well-connected within the industry. And, yeah, I wasn't surprised that she got nominated this year.
I think she's doing something with the Super Bowl, too, if I'm not mistaken.
I think she's doing a pre-thing.
Yeah, it's like crazy. And she was also at the Kennedy Center Honors because she performed for the Amy Grant set.
And she's performing for Smokey Robinson and Berry Gordy, the Music Cares thing for the Grammys.
Right.
No, she's everywhere. She just got inducted to the Austin City Limits Hall of Fame.
Yeah, there was a PBS, I think, one-hour special last month.
Yeah, it was something to say.
For that Hall of Fame that she got into down there in Austin.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very biased. I like Sheryl Crow. We did an episode, me and David, on her. And I just think that of the 90s era singer-songwriters, if you're going to bet on someone to get inducted the first time, I would think it's Sheryl Crow. Just there's too much momentum, not even just of the award shows and events that she's attended, but also she's well awarded like the Grammys and other institutions. She's always on publications for like best songs and best albums. And also like she's so well connected in the industry and actual Hall of Fame inductees, which I think that's what I really want to emphasize to listeners tonight, is that those like connections absolutely matter when it comes to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because they often vote for their friends or their peers or colleagues or what have you not. And if you look at the Threads album that she did in 2019, I swear to God, it is like, me and David talked about this, like two dozen at least Hall of Famers. And then we had a list that me and him both wrote, and it was like 50, 60 names of like famous musicians.
Yeah, she's more well connected than I realized.
Like Dave Grohl level connected, where it's just like she just like had her hand in every pocket in terms of just like, you know, working with people. And I think that's how Missy Elliott is too, that we're going to talk about her in a little bit. But yeah, like Greg and Michelle, did you have thoughts on Sheryl Crow?
We'll be back after a quick break. If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
I think she's pretty much a lock. And they'll, like you said, there's going to be a long line of people that will play for her and play with her, and be interesting to see who does the actual honors.
I'm curious of that too. I mean, yeah. Brandi Carlile's like phone number is on speed dial at the Rock Hall. Like anytime they need anything now, it's like, whether it's like the Everly Brothers song at the 2021 ceremony that me and Greg attended, or it's the Dolly Parton set with Pink last year. It's like, she's just everywhere. So Brandi Carlile's probably going to be somewhere in that.
Brandi inducted her into the Austin City Limits Hall of Fame.
Right.
I don't know if you saw this, Nick, was it Monday that the Rock Hall posted that the announcement was coming? And in the comments on Instagram, Brandi Carlile actually commented Sheryl Crow, you know, tagged her as like who she wants to see. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see her at all. I'm a huge fan of Sheryl Crow. I was talking to my wife about her earlier. I was like, she's almost like, if you could create a Rock Hall inductee in a lab, she is the like textbook inductee. She plays the game, shows up at ceremonies. It's exactly who the Rock Hall would induct.
Absolutely. And she was just that. And this is something that we have to remember too. She was at two segments for the last ceremony. She inducted Pat Benatar as she performed 9 to 5 with Zac Brown during the Dolly Parton set. So like, I don't even know how many times that's happened where like you kind of have multiple crossover segments within the same show, but Yeah.
There's just, even been years where she's not participating, but they just show her in the crowd. Like she just comes in.
Yeah, that was the Stevie Nicks.
You know? Yeah.
The Stevie Nicks solo year. And she inducted Fleetwood Mac, and she was part of the Linda Ronstadt female collaboration.
Yeah, medley. It's a no-brainer.
Medley, yeah.
And it's funny because I was at the ceremony for the Barclay Center 4 years ago, and they kept showing shots of her. So it's kind of like, you know, and you thought to yourself, like, she was first eligible either that year or the year before, like one of the two. And I just kept thinking, like, shit, like, she's coming up soon. Like, she's played the game long enough. And I don't want people to think, like, she's worthy just because of all these connections. She's just a really great songwriter. She's written incredible songs. And
I think she's incredibly talented.
Yeah.
And longevity too. Like she was the go-to female mainstream rock star for at least, I would say, well over a decade. Like, you know, and I think that absolutely matters. And I wrote about this in my thing, but like she should have been nominated the first year. Like there would have been a good case to put her.
I thought she was going to be.
Me too. I really thought so too.
I know. It was their favorite mistake, the nominating committee.
There we go.
So we're all pretty high on Cheryl's chances, I would think. Like,
yes,
I think so.
I think she's a pretty much a near lock at this point. Like, I can't see her not getting in. Let's talk about one of the first of the two first year eligible nominees, and that's Missy Elliott. I was, you know, it was weird. Some people were predicting her, and then there was a lot of comments that I had to respond to with my blog because someone said that she's not a household name. And I'm like, what? Missy Elliott? Like, she's iconic. She's amazing. We love her. Were you guys surprised this year on the ballot, her first year, that she was eligible?
No,
not at all.
Okay.
Only because, you know, I not that I didn't think she was worthy, but I was kind of taking the approach of until the Rock Hall nominates a female rapper, I'm not going to bet on them to do it. So I wasn't sure if they would.
Well, when she got into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, that kind of opened my eyes. Like, okay, I think when she finally comes up here in a couple of years, I think she's gonna get in there right away.
And you
have a nominee right away.
And you have to remember, we just had 4 first-year eligible rap inductees with Tupac Shakur, Notorious B.I.G., Jay-Z, and last year with Eminem. And there are more relevant female rappers right now than ever. I can list them if you want. You know, Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion, Sweetie, Doja Cat. There's others. But it's just, she's definitely the good representative of that. And she's
Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj. I'm so sorry. I believe I left her out. Nicki Minaj, yeah. But she's definitely an innovator, and there's nobody like her. She's definitely an originator and an innovator.
I always like think of her as a revolutionary. Like she's just definitely, like there's a before and after. And I think to me, the marker of a first-year inductee or someone who should be inducted is like there's a clear before and after. And I feel like Missy Elliott, when she debuted as a solo act, because she was also a producer, writer before she even became a performer, was that like she had success right off the bat. Like that Super Duper Fly song and that album was huge. And I mean, to me, like if you can have success right off the bat, that's amazing. But also the fact that Missy Elliott is so well connected in the music industry. She's a mentor to so many artists. Like she helped like Aaliyah, who like if she's inducted, expect Aaliyah to come up and Timbaland and I can't think of her name. She had the song 1-2 Step.
Sierra.
Yes. I wanted to say Sierra, but then I was like, I wasn't sure. And I'm like, everyone's going to do 1-2 Step because that's a banger. She's just worked and collaborated with so many artists, like dozens and dozens and dozens of artists. And, you know, I've never met anyone else that's like, I don't like Missy Elliott. Everyone likes her. I think my parents even like her. When I said that she was nominated, they were like, hell yeah, Missy Elliott. And I was like, get your freak on, I guess.
She's gotten so many accolades in the last few years. I think David probably knows more about this than I do, but it seems like every few months she's getting some different accolades, some icon award or something.
She's getting something from the Grammys, like
any
day now. Grammy honors, they call it. And she has the MTV Video Vanguard. which is their lifetime achievement. And we're in the John Sykes era, so I think that means something. And I'm leaving stuff out. What
there's
else?
So there? Many other things yeah, that she keeps getting.
yeah, yeah, it's just one of those things with Missy Elliott that we're sort of like, I mean, I think she is a near lock at this point because she's just like, there's too much acclaim. Like, I think people were forgetting too that Get Your Freak On is in the top 10 of the Rolling Stone 500 best songs list, like number 8 now. Her debut is in the top 100. She's always cited like on those best rappers of all time list. And she's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, the second ever rap artist to ever do that. The first one was Jay-Z and he's in. And I feel like voters who voted for Biggie and Jay-Z and Eminem in recent years, how can you not vote for Missy Elliott? I mean, first of all, I just want to hear Work It and Get Your Freak On at the ceremonies, because that would be life, honestly. I would just, be amazed by that. And by the way, we do have a surprise guest who is in the Zoom room, and that's Dr. Mark Lemke. So we're bringing in the surprise guest tonight. How's it going, Mark?
Hey, Nick, and hey, everyone. Greetings from the Flower City, Rochester, New York. How are you all?
We are doing really great. We talked a little bit about the draft results. I ended up winning the draft, the host. So, like, I hope you guys come back at some point to, you know, be on my show, even though I won. And you came in second, Mark, because you had Kate Bush and Willie Nelson. So
I did it. I had Willie Nelson. Oh, well, good for me. I forgot that. I remembered that I drafted Kate Bush. I was salutatorian in my high school class. I do a podcast about runners up, essentially. So this seems very appropriate that I came in second.
You are the also Rans on Rock in Retrospect, too. So it's only fitted that you're in second place.
It's very meta, Nick. It's very meta.
It's very on brand, I think, quite honestly, for you. Any thoughts, Mark, on Missy Elliott?
I'm delighted to see it. Originally, when I made my first horrible draft of predictions months ago, I thought, oh, no. And then they're going to say, well, how can we put Missy Elliott in before Queen Latifah, before Salt and Pepper? But that was silly. I think they made the right call. She's going to a strong contender. At the tail end of the conversation, I heard it seems like you think that she's pretty likely to get in, and I would agree with that. So
it's a clear lane.
Yeah.
I mean, there's another nominee in the hip hop rap lane, but I we're gonna talk about them. But I mean, Missy Elliott's got the household name. She's so widely honored and admired. And like, I was reading an article last night because I was kind of like not sure if like maybe she would say something or anyone that was on our radar. And I saw like in her hometown that they have like a street named after her, like a year ago or so, like in her small town in Virginia. So it's like everything's coming up Missy Elliott, and just an innovator. I think just one of the most beloved music figures of the last quarter century. Like, I hope she gets in. Do we all think she's going to get in this year?
I think she will.
I think so. Definitely.
I just want to hear Get Your Freak On at the ceremony, and that will be everything. And then I will probably just say I'm never going to ceremony again because that cannot be topped. And also, just to think too, you know, anyone from the rap world's going to want to collaborate on stage with her and, like, you know, have a few verses. Like, it'll be amazing. Let's talk about Iron Maiden next. I got them on my draft, and really that was a token pick because I was like, we haven't picked a metal artist, and they nominated them a few years ago. So yeah, like, what did people think about Iron Maiden being back on the ballot?
Not a surprise at all, really. I think when it came to metal, it was either going to be them or Motorhead. I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if, you know, some people were saying maybe Motley Crue, but I didn't. But definitely not a surprise at all.
Yeah, I mean, I just realized too, because we talked about Kate Bush already, and she had Running Up the Hill, and they had Run to the Hills. So there really needs to be a crossover both between
Iron
Maiden.
Needs to be a mashup.
Yes, we need an Iron Maiden-Kate Bush mashup. I never thought those would ever come out of my mouth, but like the opportunities that they could have at the ceremony. What do people think, because they've been previously nominated back on the class of 2021 ballot, what do people think are their chances for induction?
Off the vote, I don't know, but they might do the same way that Judas Priest did and get a musical excellence or something like that.
That seems the most likely way they'll get in. It just seems like it would be a few years down the road. It seems unlikely they would do that to a metal act 2 years in a row, but I think Greg's on the right track. That's probably the ultimate end game whenever it takes place.
It takes Black Sabbath 8 nominations. I always think that with every metal act nominated, and what was it, 3 or 4 for Judas, or was it even 2 for Judas Priest?
3.
So I think every metal act after Judas Priest is most likely going to struggle.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of those things where I think they gave Priest the Musical Excellence Award partly because they wanted it so bad. And I think, like, especially Rob Halford, like, they clearly wanted to be in. They had videos that they made every year that they were nominated. And Bruce Dickinson has been on the record saying, I can give a flying shit about this award. And please, like, take me out of consideration pretty much. And I think that, like, yeah, Iron Maiden's, like, a huge touring act and they're great and all. But, like, metal's never been a popular genre of the voters, like you guys were all just saying. And I can't see on a ballot this competitive that they stand out unless all the metalheads come out and, like, then they, like, get voters from places that weren't there 2 years ago.
If the ballot is truncated, as it were.
Right. Oh, Eddie Trunk. Oh, Lord. I don't want to know what his ballot would be this year. He's probably going to have a heart attack with some of the names that are on this ballot.
You could guess his ballot. You don't have to think too hard for it.
Yes. Oh, no, you don't. It's kind of like...
it's so obvious.
I mean, not thinking too hard is kind of his thing.
So. Oh, yeah. And then it makes you think, like, we don't have ballots, but, like, he does. Like, oh. He's just the... He's special. He's a special case. So I think it's safe to say that we are kind of not feeling Iron Maiden this year, probably.
Very long shot, unfortunately.
They're going to have to run to the hills.
And I just like to say, they're one of 4 artists to rank on the fan vote who've yet to be inducted. That's Iron Maiden, and we have Soundgarden, we'll discuss later, plus Fela Kuti, who didn't return this year, and Dave Matthews Band.
Right.
So they are still, there's an asterisk to their name.
And also that they do well in the kiosks at the museum every year,
yes,
too. Kind of like Motley Crue and like Cher, who is like, I don't know what else I have to do to share the information with the committee to kind of like get them to nominate her because, oh, yeah, Cher is not on the ballot again, which
she needs a documentary or a biopic, I think.
I think she just needs to slap someone at the Rock Hall, like it just be like, snap out of it, like her. Yeah. Like Moonstruck.
Well, no, she's another one that keeps saying she doesn't care about it, right?
Oh, she definitely doesn't
care. She responded to me, like, Tom. Do you remember? So, like, every year, like, for listeners, and then we'll go back to the next person, I promise, is I write, like, a tweet every year, usually after a ceremony, and I'm like, oh, I really want this person in. 1 year was Depeche Mode, because that's, like, my other big artist. And they got in the following year. And well, I want Duran Duran, and they got in. And Tia Turner, like, weird. And I wrote Cher. And one of my friends who was a guest on the show, John Lamoureux, was like, oh, no, she doesn't belong. Even though, like, he was outnumbered, like, 80-1, because everyone's like, yeah, she should be in. And I tagged Cher in the post. I didn't think anything of it because my tweet was very nice and complimentary and facts. And she responded a few days later. And basically, she just said, like, you know, I don't care about the Rock Hall, but I changed music. You got to believe or whatever she said. And I still get email. I still get DMs. And replies to that to this day. That happened 3 months ago. So, you know, Cher, her fans are crazy. Like, we love them, but yeah. So they want a sold out ceremony. Book Cher.
Keep the faith. It's going to happen. Keep the faith.
You got to believe, Tom. You got to believe.
It's going to happen.
Absolutely. And it's weird because the next artist we're going to talk about, I'm actually wearing their t-shirt for this occasion. And that's Joy Division / New Order. Which sounds like unnatural, by the way. So, but I am wearing the Unknown Pleasures iconic album's cover shirt because I love Joy Division. This is their first time on the ballot. They've been eligible. Well, Joy Division's been eligible since 2004, I think, and then New Order 2007. But they combine these inductions almost like a Parliament Funkadelic or Small Faces Faces. Were people shocked that it was a combined nomination?
Not at all. And it was completely the right way to go. And I mean, I'm not the biggest Joy Division fan, but I am happy because so many of you are happy. I know you're a fan. I know Joe Quizzala is over the moon. I know Eric over at Hall Watchers podcast has got to be delighted. So irrespective of their worthiness or how much I like them or their chances of getting in, this is your moment. You've waited a long time for this, and I'm very pleased.
Are you saying that love will tear us apart, though, Mark? Because they're pretty late. Joint Division.
Love will keep us together, Nick. I take a more
captain. See, this is why
philosophy.
This is why we have you back on the show, because that positivity, that absolutely upstate New York positivity that we all love. Greg, do you like Joy Division, New Order? I thought we've talked about them before.
You know, they are probably, I don't know, there's a couple others, but one of the nominees, the one I'm least familiar with. I do know, you know, I know Love Will Tear Us Apart. I know Blue Monday by New Order. But as you know, Nick, every year when the nominees are announced, I go through them all and I get music of everyone and I end up listening to them for the next couple of months. So I'm looking very forward to diving into both Joy Division and New Order in the coming months.
The good news, though, Greg, is there's only two Joy Division albums. So yeah, once you listen to them, you get like an hour and a half, 2 hours of your life, and then you listen to every Joy Division.
Very short discography.
New Order is a little bit of another thing because they had a much longer career. And of course, New Order had like Blue Monday and Bizarre Love Triangle, among other like global hits. So David or Michelle or Tom, do you guys have thoughts on Joy Division, New Order being on the ballot or their chances or anything like that?
I didn't really. Oh, go, Tom.
Go ahead.
No, go. I'm fine.
Well, I was just going to say that in the 80s, when I was listening to a lot of this music, I didn't know as much about Joy Division outside of that one song, of course. But I did know and hear a lot of New Order, especially in the 80s. I mean, they were big critical favorites too. So I had to go back, kind of like what Greg does, and listen to Joy Division's first couple albums. And yeah, I'm very innovative. Very innovative. But New Order are different. They were a different type of band once they broke away from Joy Division, but more dance and stuff like that. But both the incredible bands.
I'm always looking at patterns and trends of voting patterns. And The Cure and Depeche Mode took more than multiple tries to finally get inducted. So I'm probably in the minority. I'm not 100% confident in their chances.
No, I don't think they're going to get in right off the bat here.
I mean, I see online that a lot of people who follow this are confident, but I'm just not confident because this is a tough ballot.
Yeah, this is a very tough ballot, like to the point where it's like, you know, they're the representative of like this like post-punk or 80s alternative kind of band slot. And, you know, Duran Duran last year, they fit that, but they were also as populist as you could get, like as of MTV, and they had a crossover with Pop Moment. And like, yeah, like, I don't know.
I also think they were bigger in the UK than they were here. Is it me?
Yeah, definitely.
Because I don't think most people could name members, but I think the other bands I named, you could name a member of, or Duran Duran, or Smiths.
People could name all five members of Duran Duran. Like,
yeah, I know that, but I'm just saying with Joy Division, New Order, it's just they're not as well-known in this country, I think, at least.
Oh, I'm agree with you, because that matters. Like, those little things, like, if you could name, like, all the members of a band.
Or multiple songs, yeah, definitely. That would be my criteria if I had to go ask people that don't follow this closely.
Or even if they don't have, you can't name all the members of a band, you could kind of name at least, like, the famous guitarist, or the drummer, or the singer, or, you know what I mean? And I think that matters. And, like, I know Ian Curtis, and I know Peter Hook, and I know all that, but, like, I don't think most music fans probably do. I don't know. Maybe I'm like taking them for granted, but like, or simplifying it. But you know. But Michelle, did you have any thoughts on Joy Division or New Order?
I'm just going to echo what's been said. I think it might take them a couple of tries to get in, but very welcome to see them finally on the ballot.
Yeah, they've been a huge snub. Like, I had them in the top 10, if you guys remember my top 100 prospects project. They were like 9, and then I kind of teetered off like top 15, top 20, and then I combined them, and people are giving me crap, but I was like, they're not going to do separate. They're going to do them. It's the same band, essentially. Just there's like two members that are like, because in Curtis, you know, he tragically died, and then there was another member that was added to New Order, but like, it's the same member. It's not going to like, it'd be redundant then to include, you know, or to do separate inductions for Joy Division and New Order. My personal opinion, I like the band, one of my favorites, both iterations, but I think it's going to be like the Smiths. That's how I see in a Joy Division New Order, where I feel like they're almost all acclaim, but like, I don't know anyone in the voting body that even Hall of Famers that like list them as like an influence or that likes, respects their music the same way that I hear other people on this ballot. Like, I've heard Hall of Famers give props to these artists, and I've not heard really anyone do that for Joy Division New Order outside their like genre or outside their like little area. You know what I mean? Like, have people, do people agree with me or?
Yeah, I'm not hearing much. So far, not hearing much.
Yeah.
About them.
And I feel like,
you know, if you listen to classic alternative radio, and I put the Sirius channel on a lot, it plays the alternative rock from that era, like the Smiths and all that. They play a lot of New Order.
Oh, yeah, First Wave. That's one of my go-to car channels.
And, of course, because they play Love Will Tear Us Apart all the time, too. But a lot of New Order songs get played on there.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't really mean much in terms of whether they're going to get in, but they're just one of those kind of like the classic rock era of that alternative 80s format.
And I feel like the people are predicting them, and this is just my opinion, and people can agree or disagree, but I feel that they almost try to convince themselves because they're fans of the band that like, oh, they're going to get in, they're shoo-ins, they're locks. And I'm like, this is a tough ballot. Like, it could be with Willie Nelson and Warren Zevon and Missy Elliott and
a lot of first-time nominees that are really big names, I think.
And huge snubs that people have been waiting for forever.
That was the case last year. Yeah, definitely.
And that leads me to the next person we're going to talk about who was nominated for the first time. And I'm really excited because the team Induct Sydney campaign made it happen a little, and that's Sydney Lauper. First time on the ballot, she's been eligible for, I would say, about 15 years or so. She's been mentioned in the room, apparently. Actually, Alan Light said that because he mentioned in 2019 it was the year Stevie Nicks was nominated and inducted. It was her, and it was Tina Turner, it was Carole King, it was Carly Simon, the Eurythmics, Go-Go's, and Cyndi Lauper. All those names got in, except for Cyndi Lauper. And that's how I kind of knew that process of elimination, that she was going to be on the ballot. And I know Michelle is ecstatic, probably, that our girl Sydney is finally on a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ballot.
Yes, I am. Couldn't be more delighted. She totally deserves it. She's so accomplished. I mean, what can you say? Three quarters of an EGOT?
She needs an Oscar for her EGOT.
She needs an Oscar, yeah.
She's
she should be in the wrestling hall too. I'll just go down.
I think there's politics involved with that because I think there was a falling out. I would have to look into that because it's weird that she's not, because she was at the first WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. But like, and she was all over the TV in like 85 and 84. And yeah, I don't know why she's on WWE Hall of Fame. But
she's definitely an artist you think of with the 80s though, and early MTV. And she has really well-known songs that people know. Like you told me when you went to the ceremony, Nick, that it was like an 80s sing-along.
Right.
And I thought of her, and her songs are anthems. Girls Just Want to Have Fun and Time After Time and True Colors. And she was at the Capitol when they signed gay marriage into law. And it was like, I said to Tom Lane, I was like, this has to help her. And the nom-com must have happened right after that.
Yeah,
I mean,
it really, it was like a good photo op. It was really wild.
I mean, the She's So Unusual album it's like a greatest hits album in itself.
And she's accomplished more accolades than we realize. She's in the National Recording Registry. She's in the Songwriter Hall of Fame. And she's definitely overdue for this.
And I feel like with her, almost like her, like people think like, oh, she's so unusual that she kind of faded out. And that's really not the case at all with Cyndi Lauper. And check out the Cyndi Lauper episode I did with the Team in Duck Sydney campaign, because she wasn't like in the mainstream per se, like a mainstream press, but she was all over like TV and theater, and she was consistently making music and writing songs for other people. So she was
She was doing so many different genres. If you Google me with her, I wrote an article about her because it took her 19 years to win a second Grammy, and she won for Kinky Boots. But she was doing blues and show tunes, and she did even orchestra music. And she's just kept busy. I mean, I think her problem was they compared her to Madonna because they were on the same, and then she kind of disappeared. And but she's always was working. She's went away from EGOT, and she's definitely overdue for this.
Yeah, I mean, even though she wasn't having hit records anymore, basically after like 1990 or something.
Yeah.
Like David said, she was still going. She was still putting out stuff.
She was always working. She's always
working on something.
Yeah. I feel like she's just one of those artists, like those early MTV icons that people think of, like the first five names you think of, she's up there. And I feel like she's just all over the history of that channel. And with John Sykes in charge and now Rick Krim, who runs the nominating committee, right? The emphasis is going to be making a show. I think that's always great in these ballots, by the way. There's not going to be these throwaway like committee favorites, I don't think as much anymore, where they're kind of trying to bat for artists that have that recognizability. And I feel like of that early 80s, mid 80s era, she was up there. And I know I predicted Billy Idol in mine. I think he's coming up soon too, because like when they first did advertisements for MTV, he was also like Cyndi Lauper in the like orbit, and he was with like Mick Jagger and like,
I looked through all those I Want My MTV ads, and there's three artists that have not been inducted, and Cyndi Lauper's one of them. The other two are Billy Idol and Boy George, who both could come into the conversation eventually.
Oh, I almost had him on my prospects project, but I had to put someone else in. But next time I update it, I'm going to put Culture Club, because those songs, like Cyndi Lauper, they stand the test of time.
He was really before his time, the more I think about it, if you think of the current times we're living in.
Well, also, he was on the cover of, like, you know, magazines with, like, Annie Lennox.
Yeah, that was Newsweek.
Newsweek.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, before we move on, while we were talking, I pulled up the fan vote, and Cyndi Lauper is currently number one in the fan vote.
I saw that. I was so excited for Sydney. I was like girls just want to have fun. And I think we're going to have fun at the ceremony, because I'm going to go on a limb and say, I think she's in your lock for induction. She's just a well-respected industry veteran that, I mean, I don't know, like, do you guys think that she's a lock? That's actually a good question to ask.
I see her as a bit more borderline. I just kind of ranked the candidates and the nominees based on likelihood of induction, and I had Cyndi right around the middle. I guess part of my rationale is that if it took the Eurythmics two tries, that it's was hard a tougher... to see.
I'm sorry.
Was it a tougher one?
Those classic rock artists. Remember?
That was the Dire Straits, Moody Blues, 2018 Bon Jovi.
Oh, yeah, that one was a tough.
So that was where Kate Bush was also about in Depeche Mode, and it was oversaturated with really new wave talent. And I think part of why Sydney would be a first-year nominee, like when she comes up, is that she's a new wave artist. She's a pop artist. She did R&B and jazz and bluegrass.
She's really well more connected than we realize. I mean, Billy Joel, I just read, wrote a letter for her to be considered the other year. So, no, she's very well connected. And maybe you could get Cher to induct her even, because they're good friends.
You know, they could have been inducted at the same time. And then, well, maybe what they could do is, like, when Cher got her Kennedy Center honor in 2018 and Sydney was the surprise guest, and maybe she'll lie. She'll be like, I don't know who's inducted me. And then Cher comes on stage and she says, I lied. I'm here. Like, that's one of my favorite moments that I still watch to this day. It's so cute.
next to Willie Nelson, do you think she's the most well-known and on the ballot? I think so.
I think it's her and Missy Elliott, quite honestly.
Missy Elliott, really?
Yeah, oh, well,
possibly.
Because those videos were everywhere.
I
know,
definitely. I agree with that. But I'm just saying, like...
No, I would think Willie Nelson and Cyndi Lauper and probably Missy Elliott, those are the three I would see, like, the people probably know. And those are the three I keep seeing in headlines. And that
yeah, definitely. I agree. I see Sheryl Crow also in headlines lately. And George Michael.
Crow. And then that leads to George Michael, because he's the next person, ironically. George Michael, first time on the ballot. He's been eligible since, I think, like, this is probably 10 years, I think, give or take, after he was first eligible. What are people's thoughts on George Michael on the ballot?
Well, another, I'd say another near lock. I mean, he seems like just too big of an icon not to get in the first year, but I'm not going to say a total lock. I'm not quite sure why. I'm still trying to figure it out. But I would say he's pretty much a near lock just because he was just so famous. So, and I think we forget how huge.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Wham and George Michael were in the 80s.
But he was George Michael of...
kind of faded a little bit in the U.S. in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But he was still a huge star around the world, even in the 90s.
Yeah, and I approach this with a certain degree of contrition on my part, because when I first did my 100 snubs list 6-7 years ago, George Michael wasn't on the list. And you have to keep in mind, I was born in 1983, which was almost perfectly the wrong time to be born to appreciate George Michael, because by the time I was a teenager and listening to music, George Michael was the guy who exposed himself in a bathroom or something like that. And he became a laughing stock. And in the same way that by the time I was a teenager, Prince wasn't a genius. He was this weirdo who had a symbol for his name. It was just extraordinarily bad timing. And I never really gave the man a chance. But the more I read about him, the more I admire him. I personally have him after Willie Nelson in terms of likelihood of actually getting in this year. I have him at number two.
Interesting.
See, I think what's tricky about a George Michael on the ballot is that he passed away. And I feel like there's a few artists on here that we'll get to later on that, you know, unless you're inducted your first year, like Tupac, for example, that's one that, or Biggie, those are two that immediately come to mind. If you're not inducted that first year, it could be forever because there's no urgency to necessarily put you in. And I feel like what's really interesting about George Michael is that, you know, like, as we were saying, like, he was a huge star in the 80s. Like, he's an era of fine arts. He's on the same level as, like, a Madonna, Michael Jackson, a Prince. Like, that level in terms of, like, being in that same pantheon. I mean, and I feel like Faith was a diamond seller, won him Album of the Year. And then I think what's really great about Michael, too, is that, like, he kind of also worked in different genres, like pop and R&B and... He had a lot of success for many years. And I think he's actually an innovator too of like artists' rights, because people forget that with him. Like he pushed to get artists to have control over their music. But also he's like a gay icon too, because he came out later on in life and he got a lot of flack for that. And like he ended up like being the pioneer that we kind of know him for today. But I think his reassessments are coming more and more each year, but he's definitely a era-defining pop star of this on this ballot for sure.
Yeah, I mean, as somebody who in the 1980s, I was like in my early 20s, so I lived through that decade. And when I think about some of these people like Cyndi Lauper, like you said, Billy Idol, you got George Michael, these were huge names. And MTV, of course, was king then. And you put MTV on and you see these people basically almost 24 hours a day. There were huge stars. And sometimes here we are in 2023. If you look back, you go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, George Michael. But boy, these guys were big stars back then. Culture Club as well. I mean, they just ruled the airwaves.
Yeah, and the songs still sound fresh.
And the songs still hold up. That's an important
thing. Definitely, I agree with that.
Because that's what I always was like, Mark, for a long time. I was kind of like always approached George Michael's catalog with almost caution. I was always like, I don't know, because I always think of Wham. I think Wham tainted how I viewed George Michael. Mm-hmm. And like, it's totally separate. And it's, you know, yeah, I think he came out.
He made an incredible transition from Wham and then that Faith album.
I honestly think,
like, talk about growing up, you know.
I made comparisons to last year's class to who I think this year. And I actually think there's comparisons between George Michael and Lionel Richie. They both came from groups and they'd be like the 80s pop male going in solo.
Right.
With multiple known hits. So a guilty pleasure to some people as well. So I think he's very likely.
I think he is likely. I wouldn't bet on him because it's just such a competitive ballot. If it was
What you said about Deceased, I think Deceased is a very easy induction because you just get someone to induct and you could get more than five inductees. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I am relishing the prospect of Elton John showing up.
Oh, yes, that too.
Oh, yeah.
The induction. Michelle, what's your take on this? I'm curious.
I think he's very likely, and I am just so happy to see it. I'm so glad that these reassessments have been going on and people are appreciating what an incredible songwriter he is. It boggles my mind that he is not in the Songwriters Hall of Fame.
He was nominated, though, I think, during
nominated
his lifetime.
This year, I think he was nominated. Or last year, one of the two.
Yeah, I thought finally, but still not in. And
well, he was a pop craftsman, you know, pop music craftsman. That's really what he if you look back on his catalog and listen to some of that stuff, even in Wham, he was already building each album, each song was getting better and better that they were making. And by the time the Faith album came out, it just exploded out of him. He was just like,
and he has collaborations
in all kind of genres too on that album, rockabilly and all this stuff, just incredible.
And as a vocalist, there is a clip that I sometimes see making the rounds on Twitter of rehearsals for the Freddie Mercury tribute.
Yeah, that's right.
George Michael is singing, and everybody in the room, Bowie and Elton John, they all stop what they're doing.
Yeah, Somebody to Love. He's singing Somebody to Love.
And he has collaborations with Aretha Franklin and Whitney Houston and Mary J. Blige. He was part of Band Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas? Yeah. I think he was part of Live Aid, wasn't he? I think so. I think so. Yeah, no, he's a definite major pop star from the UK in the 80s.
Yeah.
That crossed over here and more ubiquitous than a lot of others.
Yeah, he's a household name. I think that's what we're saying in a roundabout way almost. It's like that he's kind of like the type of artist that would resonate, especially if the pop is, I mean, if the Rock Hall's going in a more pop direction, he's one of the biggest pop stars that they've never had on a ballot that could have easily been on a ballot. I'm curious to see how it plays out. I don't know. I think he has a very good shot. It's just, like I said, it's a competitive one that I mean, it's almost like rolling the dice on some of these. There's like a few that I would bet on, and then there's a few that I would be like, maybe if they open it up to like a bigger class then. But
right.
I think he has a good shot, though, George Michael. You got to have faith. And then next person, I think, needs no introduction because he's one of the most iconic musicians in American history, I'll just say, Willie Nelson. I mean, like, he's been eligible since the Rock Hall began, like, its classes in 86. And this is his first time on the ballot. This is on the heels of Dolly Parton's induction last year. And it feels like if you're going to induct Dolly, does it get more rock and roll as a country artist than Willie Nelson? He is, like, you know, besides having a long career, he also pioneered outlaw country with Waylon Jennings and among other artists that was basically rock and roll flavored country in the 70s. And talk about someone who's like a world renowned, respected, beloved figure. Willie Nelson's got so much. He's got a Kennedy Center honor. He's got a Country Music Hall of Fame Hall of Fame induction, of course. He's got so much. Like, it's almost like every award. And he's turned 90 this year. And, like, the lineup was just insane, the amount of people from across genres and eras that are attending it. It feels like this has to be Willie's year, right, guys?
I think he's a lock.
I'm at I think of all the people here, and it's interesting because it's a country artist, I say he's 100% lock.
Oh, yeah.
I think so, too.
I mean, I agree.
He's like on, who doesn't know Willie Nelson? I mean, it's and his, and he's going to be 90 years old here in, I think, first week of April, too. And yeah, and like you said, what I always try and remind people is that those outlaw country guys like Willie Waylon, Kris Kristofferson, they had a huge rock following. They had huge rock fans that were following them in the 70s. And Willie was the face of that outlaw movement. And I just, he, you don't really need to even say anything. You just say his name. And it's like with Dolly. I think last year when we talked about Dolly, it was like, oh, she's in. She's in. And Willie, it's even more. I say he's got to be 100%.
Oh, I would say until Willie asks to be removed from the ballot.
I think he's got to get out of his like tour bus, like the pot smoke that comes out, and then he'll be like, "Oh, I forgot." No, it's just like if you're gonna induct country artists, like he is the next logical choice after Dolly. The
next in line. Definitely.
And I
think his name had come up even years and years before.
Yeah, Paul Schaefer once said he was going to nominate him. I think he was the one.
Yeah.
And he founded Farm Aid, which is huge.
That's right.
With John Mellencamp and
Neil Young
and Dave Matthews.
And all those guys, yeah.
So do we think Mellencamp might induct him, or who are some other people? Because there's no shortage of folks who would do the honors.
I'll tell you who I think it's going to be. It's going to be Snoop Dogg, or I'm going to bet Dave Matthews because of the Farm Aid connection.
Or it might be Dolly Parton returns.
Dolly Parton, she'll be like, I have my rock and roll song.
She's like, I'm a rock star now.
The thing about
I think
Willie
Dave Matthews is also possible.
Yeah, the thing about Willie is that he's done duets with just about every artist in the world.
Oh, dear God.
I mean, he's like from Snoop Dogg to
Ray Charles.
And he did a duet with Dolly years and years ago, too. And he pretty much duets with everybody. Maybe they'll have Julio Iglesias come out.
I like it.
Oh, my gosh. That would be amazing. I mean,
everyone remembers that song, To All the Girls I Love.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah. I mean, like,
Snoop Dogg would be a good one to have come out and do it.
Yeah, I think people are going to think him right away.
Yeah, I know.
And then it opens because now Snoop Dogg has been eligible. So it's kind of like, then people will be like, for shizzle, Snoop Dogg is going to be on a ballot soon. And like, he's another one, like just a huge pop culture figure. I think that's the thing about Willie Nelson is like, he transcends time too. And generation, like, because I'm just looking at a list really fast. And it's like Sheryl Crow, it's Snoop Dogg, it's Waylon Jennings, it's Ray Charles, Julio Iglesias. Just so many artists across all genres. Yeah, he wrote Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy that it's over six decades old, but yeah.
I'd also like to say he's up for one more, although much more obscure accolade. So about 8 or 9 years ago, I made a gigantic NCAA style bracket, like in the tournament, called the I Can't Believe They're Still Alive bracket. And every time one of the 64 contenders dies, I cross them out and I advance the next person available into the bracket. There's only about 6 or 7 people left alive. I'm praying to God Henry Kissinger doesn't win this thing, but Willie Nelson is in the running for winning my I Can't Believe They're Still Alive bracket that I started in 2014. This has nothing to do with the Rock Hall. I just felt like it was important to say.
When you said that,
all that good stuff that he was taking all those years, it just kept him alive a little longer than
you got to treat your body like a temple, Tom.
That's right.
Eat all those herbs and those regimens that Willie had. No, he's just like he has a clear lane because there's no other country artist. He's a singer-songwriter slot, if you want to call it that. He fits every demographic who would vote for him. Yes, I think he's about as sure of a thing as you could get on this ballot. Now, Willie Nelson was nominated for the first time this year, but we're going to someone who is a committee favorite because they've been nominated 5 times now in their 6 years of eligibility, and that's Rage Against the Machine. Every year since 2018, except for 2020, they've been on a ballot for Rage Against the Machine. Not shocked. I mean, I literally wrote in my blog, I said, I don't want to pick them. They're a safe bet because they just keep coming up. But like, how can you ignore them? Because Tom Morello is on the committee and, you know, they are a definitive 90s band, but like, they're also not really resonating with the voters, I don't think either, because they four times they failed. Are people shocked to see Rage? Like, Greg, what is your take on this?
Not shocked. I thought maybe because you said they had the one gap year, they were nominated twice in a row, then there was a year off, and then they've been nominated twice in a row coming into this year. So I thought maybe they'd follow the trend and give them a year off. But it's becoming, I mean, I like them well enough and think they deserve it, but they're becoming like the new MC5 or whatever. It's just like every year they're just going to show up on the ballot and probably finish middle of the pack or something like that.
I call it rage fatigue.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
Because it's kind of like, I think what the problem with some artists is that it's not that they're not like good or anything. It's just like when you see their name so many times, I think that happens with Chaka Khan, honestly. It's like, again. And then they probably just don't vote for them. And I don't know. Like, and that's why we don't get the final tally results. So we don't know if like Chaka Khan or like Rage or even coming close to induction, or they're just really loud voices in the room that are saying that they need to be on the ballot. I don't know. Like, what are other people's thoughts on Rage?
I don't think being consecutively nominated helps your cause.
No.
It seems. And I always felt like since they were first nominated, they were always, it was premature, because I always felt Soundgarden, Smashing Pumpkins, and Beck should be in before them. And then it's like another tier of alternative 90s rock, including them. But they're worthy. It's just always felt premature to me.
How would they do if Tom Morello wasn't in the room?
Yeah, I don't think they'd be in the conversation so soon.
Even though that one year they didn't get nominated, but I mean, would they be up to five nominations by now? Maybe not. I'm just wondering.
No, I agree with you.
It's got to be kind of, I don't know, interesting. I would like to see what happens when Rage's name comes up in that room.
Alan Light said that
the guy who's almost the leader of the group is sitting there. It's just kind of.
I'm told someone else nominates them. I learned that this morning. Alan Light said Tom Morello is not the one who nominates himself.
So. No, I don't think he nominates.
No, I'm just saying it's just interesting that they always come up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I didn't predict that they would get nominated this year. I was kind of like Greg. I thought, well, you know, they're going to give them a rest again. But when I saw their name today, I was like, no.
I wasn't surprised.
One of those feelings. Like, oh, okay, there they are again. You know.
Mark and Michelle, do you have thoughts on Rage Against the Machine? Are you full of rage? No, I'm kidding.
I was going to predict them, and then I thought that the hall would be a little more female-friendly. This ballot is not very diverse in terms of gender or racial makeup. So I thought they were going to keep trying for more women, and they've kind of stepped back from that.
Only four, right? Only four.
Yeah, four out of 14.
Yeah, and it stands out a bit more just because last year's ballot was so good on those grounds. There was, to quote another also ran, binders full of women, as it were, on the ballot. But I'm so sorry. I cut you off, Michelle.
Oh, no. So I went with some female picks, but I probably should have stayed with Rage. But yeah, I expect them to be middle of the pack again, not really make a dent. We'll, as Skip Carey used to say, we'll have it to do all over again.
Well, just to clarify, though, for a second, like Meg White is in the White Stripes, so that is the fifth one. Oh, and then the sixth one is New Order. There is
they have a woman.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Six.
So like there are six acts on here technically that do have female members. But yeah, like I don't know. I feel like with Rage, I think something's got to give. Like if like to me, I'm always an opinion. Like if I was in that room, I would like I've ran committees like this. I would be like, get an executive decision and be like, if they're not doing well, try someone else, try Oasis, try Weezer, try Smashing Pumpkins or anyone else. If you're not gaining traction or you're not making the cut, maybe it helps to be have your name removed on the ballot. Like that really helped, I think, someone like the Eurythmics, who felt like they were nominated for the first time and they had a 4-year absence, or The Cure, they had like a 7-year absence from the ballot. So like, I don't know. Like, I think I agree with David. Like, if you continuously put up someone, either they have to be doing really well or really close, like Chic and LL, apparently, like, because Questlove said that many years ago, or it's like, move on and come back to them, I guess. Like, I don't know. It might be too harsh.
No, I agree.
No, I think you're right on.
I agree with you.
All right.
If they had a 3 or 4 years off and then popped up again, they'd be like a freshness to it almost.
Yeah.
Get reevaluated, but
just keep raging on. And I think they got screwed too, because they were supposed to have the huge reunion tour, and it was right before COVID that it was supposed to start, or right after COVID, and it keeps getting delayed and delayed. And it's like, you know, like that, I think, screwed up their chances. Because I think if that happened, they would have been in by now, because it would have reminded people like, hey, they really should be in. And it was just timing that really said that. And we're going to move on to a 90s band that I'm glad made the ballot, because they were my draft picks, and that was Soundgarden. They were first nominated a few years ago for the class of 2020. Shocked they didn't make it. Like, that was one of the ones I thought was almost a shoo-in. They did not. And there's so much we could talk about with Soundgarden, but I'm curious your guys' thoughts, because this is an artist that time has... I mean, it feels like, I mean, they've been removed for 3 years, but I don't know where 3 years has been, quite honestly. But so it feels like 10 years. But what are people's thoughts on Soundgarden being on the ballot again?
Very happy to see them return. Chris Cornell's one of my favorite singers ever. You know, that year they were on before, that was that tough year with was Motorhead and Thin Lizzy, and they just all split the vote, I think, and none of those rock acts got in. But hopefully, I think they might fare better, especially, like you said, if there's some rage fatigue, someone looking for a rock vote might swing it to Soundgarden.
Yeah,
and I think that 3-year absence might actually help them out. Well, yeah. I have to see. I've kind of got them like right near induction right now, kind of like very close. Yeah, like you, Nick, I was surprised that they didn't get in that first year, but then like Greg said, that was a very tough year with so many rock bands.
I think the solo artists on the ballot have better odds this year, but I think if a band does get in, I'm betting on them.
Yeah
that's the way I see it.
I absolutely agree, and I feel like Chris Cornell's name keeps coming up in publications and in different news pieces in the wake of his passing in 2017. And I feel like, you know, like Brandi Carlile, who it's funny that I think Greg mentioned her name earlier, but she said on Instagram, apparently she wanted Soundgarden on the ballot a few days ago too. And it's kind of like, you know, I don't know. I feel like when you think of grunge, you think of Pearl Jam, you think of Nirvana, and you think of Soundgarden, and of course, Alice in Chains is the fourth one, because those are the four, the big four of that era. But yeah, like, he's just such a beloved figure. I was hesitant to predict them because there was a pending lawsuit with Chris Cornell's widow and the band. And honestly, I don't know where the hell it stands. Do you guys have any idea? Because
I believe it's been settled.
Oh, it has.
That's what I think I've heard.
So that's why they're on the ballot.
And I would like to remind people that he's the only one I know who, since following this, they got a tribute when he died.
Right.
He's not an inductee yet. And that's always stuck out to me.
Yeah. And it was like Jerry Cantrell and Nancy Wilson, because they did Black Hole Sun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Nick, I just want to correct myself, because earlier when I was talking about Brandi Carlile, I said she commented that Sheryl Crow should get in. It was Soundgarden. You're right.
Oh,
I was mistaken. I saw that. Yeah.
Oh, gosh darn it. The host is correct. No, I thought, yeah, because I remember seeing that and I was thinking, like, because I would have thought Sheryl Crow, because she's worked with her so much. And I saw Soundgarden. I think David might have showed me that, actually.
Yeah, I sent it to you and Tom. I thought it was interesting.
I was like, ooh, like, let's go. Mark, do you have any thoughts on Soundgarden coming back to the ballot?
Not especially. I think they deserve to be on the ballot. Do I think they'll get in this year? No. Will I vote for them? No, not really. I'm kind of lukewarm just because 90s alternative wasn't my scene at the time. But in terms of whether objectively they should be on the ballot, sure. I'm glad to see him back. And if they're going to pick a 90s alternative act, or grunge act rather, this seems like a solid choice. I don't have anything more exciting to say about that.
I just think, like, when you think of 90s bands, they're one of the first five you think of, at least for people that I know. And like, I updated my top 100 list. I put them number six because I'm just like, they have to get to them sooner or later. And it's actually weird because I'll talk about this later. Of the 14, well, two of them were not like eligible because the White Stripes and, you know, Missy Elliott, but 11 of the 14 were the top 25, and then five of the top were in the top 10. It was crazy. So, and it happens almost every year I do, though. So I don't know if like the finger's on the pulse or it's just dumb luck or both. I don't know. But it's just weird because I had them at number six because I was like, they stand out like a sore thumb because Chris Cornell's such a well-known singer. And yeah, I don't know. I just feel like, I think they have a good chance on the ballot. I think the problem is that they're kind of occupying like the fifth or sixth spot, I think, in terms of like, it just depends on who, what competition they have. Like, I don't know if Iron Maiden and the White Stripes, you know, or maybe are crowded in their lane, or I don't know. Like, what are people's thoughts? Like, do people think that they'll get in or like this year?
No, I mean, it hurts them that they're up against Rage, and you can argue that they're different genres and occupy slightly different lanes, and you wouldn't be wrong. But I think this is one of those cases where two artists from a world that doesn't always get in first crack at it. They didn't do them many favors, either group, by putting them on the same ballot.
I think they're possible because I think they're an artist that when they were, so people are surprised they didn't get in the first time they were nominated. But I said this already today, but like I think the odds are better in the solo artist favorite. But if a band gets in, I'm expecting them.
They have a good shot. Like, I wouldn't bet the house on them, but I wouldn't say that it's not happening either. Let's move on to someone in this room. I've talked about them so much, and that's the Spinners. And we, of course, had Tom on our Spinners episode, which was like one of the first 10 episodes of this podcast. And yeah, like, Tom, this is your moment. This is the fourth time they've been nominated. It's been like 7 years since their last ballot appearance.
Yeah, 2012, then 2015, 2016. And then 7 years later, the biggest surprise of the morning for me is just seeing their name on that FRL list. I had to double check a few times and make sure that I wasn't still asleep when I saw it.
You're like spitting, like,
how the heck did they land on there? Apparently Alan White said that the death of Tom Bell, mm-hmm. I think was last month, sort of brought their name back into the room. And that's basically how they got nominated again. I mean, hey, look, I'm thrilled, I'm excited for them. And, probably a long shot, obviously, but hey, they're on the ballot, and people are going to be talking about them for the next couple months. So that's cool with me.
Promote our episode because we make really wonderful points for the Spinners.
Yeah, I'm trying to promote that episode as much as possible now. It's also a good episode for people who are just wondering why do they belong in there, you know?
And they have a fascinating story.
R&B groups of all time.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, that was probably my favorite episode of your podcast, Nick, the Spinners one with Tom. I mean, I think when I saw Spinners, I thought, okay, in terms of people who are going to be happy about this, I think Tom is number one. I think Henry Fombrow is number two.
Yeah.
and my 3-year-old is probably number three just because he is obsessed with the Spinners. I don't know how my kid landed on Philly Soul. I'm not complaining, but that's all he wants to listen to
somewhere along the way.
Every single morning he wants to hear the Spinners record.
Yeah, I mean, Henry's in his mid-80s now. He's the last surviving member. He still performs with the group. I mean, let's get him in there. Get him in there for Henry. Come on.
Michelle, were you going
to
say something?
That's my whole pitch. That would be my whole pitch to a ton of Rock Hall voters in the room. I would just get up and say that. Come on. Let's get him in there. What the hell's going on?
Just play our episode, Tom, and just be like, they do not deserve. And by the way, I still get emails for that episode. I get emails for a lot of episodes for past ones. I do get a lot for the Spinners episode, because I don't think anyone ever did a Spinners episode, like from our research.
I don't even think Questlove has ever done on his podcast. He does a lot of classic R&B people on there. I don't think he's ever done one with the Spinners or even Tom Bell. I'm not so sure. I know he never did one on the Spinners.
I think we're on the vanguard then, Tom.
Yeah,
I think
that's right.
We're doing something right. And I think you were going
to
say something.
That's why I was excited to do that particular podcast, because I said, well, wait a minute, the Spinners. Now, no one's done one on the Spinners before. We're going to be the first one out.
we're innovators here at Rock in Retrospect. We try, at least.
Right.
Michelle, were you going to say something about the Spinners?
All I can do is say ditto to Tom and ditto to Mark's son. Exquisite taste. I'm sitting here thinking about little Steve, and I think it was last year he said something disparaging about
It was probably about it was a while back.
Yeah.
He says something about, he was like saying something about disco music or something like that.
Yeah. And
he threw the Spinners name in there. Oh, we're going to nominate disco acts like the Spinners. And this was after they had been nominated, I think, the first time or second, 2012, something like that.
It was to Billboard, because I remember us talking about that. And then he also had, like, this Duran Duran, like, for some unknown reason, and Bandana Man. Sorry, Duran Duran got in last year. And the Spinners, I think they actually have, like, I wouldn't bet on the Spinners, but they're in a unique spot on this ballot, because they really don't have any competition, because there's a lack of R&B artists. Mm-hmm. So if, like, the voters who maybe have fond memories of the Spinners or R&B music or the 70s.
That's one thing that stuck out with me this morning, too, is the lack of female R&B vocal singers. Like Dionne Warwick, we thought maybe Roberta Flack would get a nomination. Mariah Carey's not on there. Mary J. Blige, Missy Elliott. You know, she's pretty much she's not really a singer, but you know, she's pretty much has that lane to herself here.
Yeah, and if I can say one more thing about their likelihood, I mean, the last two times the Spinners have been on the ballot, if memory serves, They were baked a shit sandwich in terms of competition, because for the 2015 class, they were up against all kinds of soul and R&B, Bill Withers, Chic, to a certain extent, the Marvelettes. And I think the last time was the ballot that became the class of 2016. Am I right about that?
Yeah,
which
sure.
was the insane one with Chicago, Cars, Cheap Trick. Janet Jackson was on for the first time. NWA was at the height of their powers. That I think that was the best ballot or the most competitive ballot I'd ever seen. And the Spinners were lost in that shuffle of first time nominated acts. So this is the first time in possibly since the first time they were nominated where they have a ballot that's a little bit more friendly to them. And if you have all these old, you know, Motown guys or surviving members of the OJs or something filling out ballots, yeah, sure, they're going to vote for the Spinners. I think there's a possibility. There's
Thanks
the electoral math
me.
Is there.
I think they do have a better shot than I think you're thinking, Tom, because like I said, like there's not really any R&B on this ballot. And I've seen a lot of tweets too of people just saying like that are voters or music journalists or writers that are kind of like, oh yeah, I'm definitely voting for the Spinners, or like their name stuck out to me. And
yeah,
I was like curious. I was like, huh, like, I don't know. Maybe they do.
Well, I mean, Nick, when we did our reaction podcast for last year's ballot, We divided the nominees into, and this was an impromptu thing we did, into categories like lock and contender. And one of the categories we had was puncher's chance. And Spinners seemed like a quintessential puncher's chance band this year, in that they're not one of the most likely ones. But if they get that lucky punch in, if all the right people vote for them and find space for them on their ballot, they can absolutely do it.
I think the next artist is, I think, that this year's puncher's choice, and that's A Tribe Called Quest. I think, honestly, you know, this is their second year in a row on the ballot. They've been eligible for, I guess, like, what, like 7 years or 8 years, give or take. And yeah, Tribe Called Quest, I didn't know if they were returning. I didn't know if they were going to go Wu-Tang Clan or Salt-N-Pepa or De La Soul. Outcast. Or out. See, I think, so this is the thing. So I think it's a generational thing, because like, I think Outkast more like a Missy Elliott contemporary, because they're like late 90s, really 21st century. Yeah. So it's weird when people say like them in the same vein as like Wu-Tang or De La or A Tribe, because it feels like that's like late 80s, early 90s. So maybe it's just me, but like, I always like think Outkast is much later. Like, but am I the only one that thinks that, or do you guys all like,
well, I think of Outkast as just hugely popular.
Yeah.
You know, more, like, more hugely popular than the others. But you're right. They were late 90s, early 00s. This was their peak. And the other ones, I mean, De La Soul's first album was, what, 1989, 88?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and speaking of Outkast, let me just say. And
stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see where you're coming from on that, but I just thought, well, Outkast is just so popular.
And speaking of Outkast, let me just say, Michelle, that I feel bad, especially for you, because I was expecting a Georgia heavy ballot with Outkast on it and B-52s on it. I was expecting a lot of representation from Hotlanta, as the teeny boppas are calling it these days, and none of that materialized.
Nope, it did not. Really? I thought the B-52s would be on there.
Still shocked by that.
Yeah.
Oh, please. You guys know, because I've written articles and blogs and podcast episodes on B-52s and Outkast, and especially B-52s. It's like they had a farewell tour. They're having a Vegas residency. There's a documentary coming out that's in the works. It's like, this is their moment. If you're going to honor, like, I don't know. Like, B-52s, I don't get it. Like the lack of a nomination. Just insane to me. How are people feel about Tribe this year?
I was surprised to see them return. It makes me think maybe they did pretty well last year. So I'm excited because I love them and think they should definitely go in. I do want to say one thing real quick. On the draft episode, I was talking about Outkast and comparing them to Tribe Called Quest. And I said, I know my parents don't know who Tribe Called Quest is. And I got a random text about a week ago from my mom saying, excuse me, your dad and I absolutely know who Tribe Called Quest is. So I just want to apologize to my parents.
Go mom. But also thank you, Greg's parents, for listening to my show. Oh my God, that's funny. Tribe... See, here's the thing. So this is why I didn't think Outkast, and I didn't like think. I even said Wu-Tang on the blog because there's 30th anniversary of Enter the Wu-Tang, and I thought, like, you know, they just had an album added to the National Recording Registry, like A Tribe Called Quest did. But like, this is like, I feel like on the ballot, like the last few years, where you have Jay-Z and LL Cool J, then you have Tribe and Eminem, and then you have Tribe and Missy. It feels like, weirdly enough, like it's almost like there's the obvious FYE rap pick, who's Missy Elliott this year. And then you always have like almost like the critical favorite, or like the one who's like, they're not exactly like super popular, but like I feel like you're in the know, you like them. And I feel like Tribe kind of fits that. And I don't like think they have a chance in hell on this ballot, quite honestly. Like, I think like, it's almost like how Mark said it last year on the show. It's like a thank you for coming kind of appearance. But like, I can't see them resonating on a ballot that's even more competitive than last year's with less names. And I mean, I'm not harsh because I love Tribe Called Quest. They're one of my favorite rap artists of all time. But yeah, I don't know.
I don't see him getting in this year.
It's going to be hard to see if they gain votes, because anyone who showed ballot amongst the critics voted for Kate Bush and A Tribe Called Quest, and they all voted for them. And anyone who votes for them will not be able to tell if they gain votes. There's a bigger demographic we don't see or hear from.
And that was the thing last year. And I'll say this as the host, is that like people were trying to convince me last year that they were going to get in because of those critics' ballots. And they had like 50 ballots out of like 1,200 ballots. And it's like critics are always going to show their ballots because they're critics. They like to say their opinion and they like to talk. That's how it works. But like that's not representative of the larger voting body. And I think it's a mistake to think like, oh, like they're showing their ballots and that automatically concludes that they're going to get in. Like Lionel Richie had like no votes and Carlos Evan, and they both got in. So it's kind of
Lionel
like
Richie. If you look at all those ballots, I think Lionel Richie had like 3 votes.
Yeah, it was
weird. Yeah. So, you know, you're instantly looking at that and you go, forget it. But like you said, there's a different body of voters out there, and there's executives and there's industry biz people and
artists. Peers.
You know, you're a lot of Motown acts out there voting for. So
that was a real game changer for me, because just everyone who comments, who follows this, is like overanalyzes or theorizes, but they're not the majority whose votes matter.
Right.
That's where you have to separate your personal taste from reality almost. I'd be like, are they going to get more votes than Eminem? I don't think so. Like, you know what I mean? Like, stick to that reality check. And I feel like, you know, to quote a Doobie Brothers song, because they were inducted a few years, what a fool believes. And people were trying to like legitimately like convince me that. I was like, no, they're not going to get it. Like,
Tribe are great, but I just don't see it happening this year.
They never got their due in the industry, if you really think about it. So this would be like the biggest for them.
I mean, they collaborate with different people, and they had like, you know, like they had an album like before one of the members passed away, like in 2016, I think it was. But yeah, like they're not like, they never had a mainstream moment. I think that's what I'm trying to say in the nicest way. But beyond worthy, they should get it.
They definitely are worthy. They definitely are. It's always a battle of quality versus quantity, and they're definitely with the quality side. And they deserve to get inducted.
Can they kick it this year? No, they can't.
Yes, they can.
No, they can't. No, I'm kidding. Yes, they can. Of course they could. We'll see. I'm curious though, like if they gain votes or like how they do. Because I think right now, Greg, aren't they like last in the fan vote?
Let me refresh it real quick. But yeah, I think they are dead last.
They got a quest on their hands.
I think Jay-Z was last when he was on the ballot.
Yeah, rap artists are always down at the bottom.
There's no accounting for taste.
Yeah, and also the MC5 were always like last.
Missy Elliott is right above them, second to last. So
that breaks my heart. That hurts my
it
soul.
It says more about demographics who are voting in this.
Yeah, the people
don't know.
Isn't the well? We're going to talk about the next artist, but the White Stripes aren't doing really well.
They're right above Missy Elliott, third
what
to last.
The hell, okay, Gen Z and like millennials, get on the computer and vote. Even though it means nothing, by the way, the fan vote. It's a publicity stunt that just gets more clicks onto their website. But that leads me to talk about the White Stripes, who, I'm going to be honest, we were shocked to see their names because we thought that they were going to be up next year because, you know. But then they changed the rules, the Rock Hall. They didn't tell us. And now we have White Stripes. I'll be honest, like from like a more like fan perspective, very excited to see the White Stripes. Even though this wasn't the type of situation that I was envisioning, one of the most acclaimed rock acts of the first decade, 21st century. I think that they helped with garage rock, bring that into the 21st century. Also the blues. And also, does it get like much bigger than Jack White in terms of like a rock star in the last 20 years? I don't know. What are people's thoughts on the White Stripes?
Well, and they were successful too. I mean, they've got a few songs there that people know. I just think that I think they got a good chance of getting in right off the bat. Jack White is just one of those respectable figures in the biz, as I always like to say, that everyone knows. And I think that might be enough to carry him over. I don't know. I know some people aren't as high on their chances this year, though.
You mean David? No, I'm kidding.
I think they're in the same position Beck was in last year. I just, because a lot of the alternative rock, I mean, they weren't, I don't think of them as 90s, but took multiple tries. Nine Inch Nails, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, look at Rage Against the Machine right now. This is Soundgarden second. Because Beck was very acclaimed just as much as they are, and it didn't happen last year. I'm not saying they're not worthy. I just am not saying they're like a definite, you know, FYE.
I feel like there was a documentary that you all probably watched. It was called It Might Get Loud. And there was a documentary that had The Edge and Jimmy Page and Jack White in it. And this from 2008. And that always stuck out to me for some reason. Like, you know, like they're already kind of usher in Jack White, who I think if he's inducted, he would be 47 or 48. So he would definitely be one of the youngest inductees in terms of like in recent memory. But I feel like he is like the reason why they would change it to a 20-year rule if they or like speed it up the process, because he is like, you know, the someone that they want to honor. And he's going to get in twice as a solo artist and the White Stripes.
Yeah. And if we were in a different context, looking ahead at the next 5 years, we would have pegged the White Stripes as very easily the most likely FYE out of, except for maybe Beyonce or something, if she's in that 5 year. Anyway, we would have pegged them as an FYE. And it's just strange because we didn't have a chance to think of this year as the year the White Stripes are finally eligible. And we were all just kind of taken aback. But yeah, I think they deserve it, and I think they'll be very strong contenders for actually getting in.
I feel like they're one that, like, I think, see, I'll go out on a limb, but I think that they're up there in terms of, like, going over the edge to induction because of Jack White and Meg White. They're just, it's such a respected band. They're always on best albums and songs list, and I think, David, you would know this more. Doesn't Jack White have like at least a dozen to two dozen Grammys alone?
You caught me off guard. I think he must have up to 10. And he has some production Grammys.
Yeah.
But he produced that Loretta Lynn album. He has some solo ones and some White Stripes ones. I'd have to look.
Well, don't you think also what helps him is like he has so many side projects through like the Racketeers and the Dead Weather and his solo stuff, of course.
No, like, he's always working. I'll say that. I don't know why. I just don't think he's like, you know, a mile away lock. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I don't know. Like,
everyone
Michelle,
seems to think that, but me.
Michelle, what are your thoughts on the White Stripes?
I was maybe less surprised than a lot of people I've heard in the media that they were there. I was like, oh yeah, Jack White. Everybody loves Jack White. I think they have a really good shot. Right now I have a little card with a potential class on it, and I'm kind of waffling between whether, Warren Zevon, who we'll talk about next, and the Stripes, they're kind of battling it out for a slot.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, they're just like one of the first go-to bands of the 21st century, like the Strokes, like, see, I'm younger than you guys, but like the Strokes and the White Stripes and the Killers, those are big bands for in like my youth. And like those are like the Pearl Jam, Nirvana's, like, you know what I mean? So like I feel like they should get in. I mean, this is also the same institution didn't get Radiohead in their first year, which is almost a farce, because I think all five of us, or all six of us, I guess, should agree that Radiohead should have been inducted the second that they were on a ballot. And that's kind of like an embarrassment that they didn't. And that would be my hesitation almost for them, is that like either people take them for granted and not vote for them, or like, I don't know. Like, so are we kind of thinking that they have a good shot, or like what is the temperature reading right now?
I'd say more likely than not to get in personally.
Yeah. I think so. I may be biased being from Detroit.
Right.
But it's a good day for Detroit between the Spinners and the White Stripes. Yeah, well, I'm glad to see that representation. I think they have a great job. I don't think the surprise was that they got it on the ballot their first year. The surprise was that this year ended up being their first year, you know, because of the timeline. But yeah, I thought, as Mark said earlier, that I had them pegged as whenever they became eligible, sure thing going in.
Jacqueline has 12 Grammys, by the way. I just looked it up. But that's overall between his solo projects. A lot of them are technical Grammys, like engineered album and recording package.
That's still impressive. That
it's still impressive. That double. Anytime you get double digits, impressive.
And he did a song on a Beyonce solo album too.
Yes, he did.
They did a duet. I think it was on the Lemonade album, like
eight
years ago or something like that.
I think
it's called "Don't Hurt Yourself."
Don't Hurt Yourself. Yeah.
I think it's also the fact that he's always working. And I think that, you know, that actually works in his favor. I feel good about their chances. I don't know why. I feel like they're going to be one of those, like, if you want to rock act, like, and Soundgarden doesn't get enough votes or it doesn't resonate, I feel like Rage, I don't know. It hasn't happened 4 times already, so I wouldn't bet on it. But I feel like the White Stripes, I actually think they have a good shot. I would almost like pencil them in. Although Jack White has said on numerous occasions he doesn't care about the Rock Hall. So I wonder if that plays a factor too, because he's quoted as saying, like, oh, I don't care about that.
Everyone says that until they're nominated and
answered. Yeah, right.
Oh, yes. But do you guys think that they would reunite him and Meg for the show?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
You mean for a performance? You mean for a performance? Right now I'd probably say no. Would she show up for an induction? That's probably,
I would hope
performance,
so.
Performance, I don't think so. I don't know.
Now I'm all the more curious. I think we need this to happen because we'll have like all this controversy. And speaking of the best for last, we're going to go and talk about Warren Zevon, who has been finally on the ballot for the first time, and he's been eligible since 1995. So we're going on almost 30 years for Warren Zevon. There's so much to say about Warren Zevon. We could do an entire episode, of course, on him for my show. But there's all these stories about, like, oh, he's blackballed by the Rock Hall, and Jan Wenner, like, at him, like, didn't get along. And it's just nice to see someone like Warren Zevon on the ballot finally get it his due. And apparently Billy Joel had a lot to do with it because he wrote a letter. Well, he wrote a letter for Joe Crocker because me and Greg talked about him. And then you also wrote one for Cyndi Lauper, the best. But yeah, like, I'm glad that, you know, we're seeing Warren Zevon on the ballot. We can finally say that we nominated him. What are people's thoughts on Zevon getting on the ballot?
Well, I guess I'll go for it. I actually predicted him this year. Although I kind of did a little hesitancy there. I predicted his name, but then I said, I actually don't think he has that great a chance of getting. I was trying to put like baby boomer acts that have a chance of getting on in there, and certainly his name coming up. But this is also, I think, the 20th anniversary that he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe February or January or something like that. And he's one of those names. For a long time, when he talked about singer-songwriters, everyone would say, oh, what about Warren Zevon? What about Warren Zevon? And I was pleasantly surprised to finally see his name on there this year.
I think he'd get in because I saw such a response from known celebrities who they mentioned him for some reason. And I think he's really possible.
Too. And Michelle. I don't know if it's the Hall, I think, is moving on from wanting these folks to always be on the inductions, but folks like Bruce Springsteen would turn up, Jackson Browne would turn up. I think a lot of current singer-songwriters respect his influence and would turn up. There's a lot of respect for him still. And the fact that he passed away so tragically, everybody knows the quote, enjoy every sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was still making great music right up until his final days too.
Yes. So, yes. The Wind album.
He was an incredible singer-songwriter who, you know, if you hopefully a lot of people will go back and check out his catalog.
Yeah,
some great stuff on there. All kinds of great stuff beyond Werewolves of London. There's all kinds of other great stuff in there.
I feel like for me, like this is where I think of Lawrence Ebert. I always think of him almost like a Randy Newman kind of figure. Like came from the 70s, very eccentric, very singular. But he's also a cult artist in the sense that like he's only known really for Werewolves of London for a mass audience. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's like you kind of almost have to be a fan of Zevon. And he's also like an artist's artist. Like we said, like some of the people that have already been mentioned, like Springsteen and Dylan and Brown, they all are really big fans of Zevon. But like, I don't know, like. And I mean, and music critics do like him and writers, and his name always comes up a lot in terms of like big snubs, and especially for ones who've never been nominated. So now it's his turn on the ballot. So I'm really curious how his name generates, especially on a very competitive ballot like this.
Well, fan vote, interestingly, right now, he and Sheryl Crow are statistically tied for seventh place.
Wow.
So.
I think his reputation, especially his singer-songwriter reputation, has only grown over the last 20 years.
And I have seen him on wish lists, you know, even by the people who are so negative about this institution. I've seen him on wish lists.
You'll often see a lot of people go, like I was saying earlier, you know, they haven't inducted Warren Zevon yet either, you know, that type of stuff. So he does get a lot of mentions.
Yes.
He does.
And they could get David Letterman to induct him because he said he would come back when he inducted Pearl Jam.
Yep.
So
that's my exception to the non-musical inductor policy. I'm not into movie star inductors. I want musician inductors, and that's my one exception.
No more Howard Sterns of the.
No more Howard Sterns, and I don't care. I like Robert Downey Jr., but I don't care if he likes Duran Duran. That's nice. Be in the package. Don't be the inductor.
Well, it's funny. Everyone thought, everyone thought I was crazy when I said Robert Downey Jr. for Duran Duran, and I posted that, and some people were like, "Oh no!" And I'm like, "There's too much." Like they performed at his 50th birthday, and he's on the red carpet with them, and he's hanging out with them, and lo and behold, it was our DJ. But yeah, like, I don't know.
I think he has a good chance this year. Very good chance of getting in.
I think he has a good chance, and it's really weird too, because something that I was going to say about Zevon is that he's also really the only classic rock representative on here, because a lot of his songs are on classic rock radio, like Lawyers, Guts, and Money, and Excitable Boy, and of course Werewolves of London. So I feel like if
he fits that singer-songwriter rock and roll rock era slot that they used to fill years and years ago with Cat Stevens and those type of names.
Yeah.
He definitely fills that slot this year.
Yeah. And I feel like if like the elders who vote regularly, I think that they'll all vote for him, or like, you know, he has the best shot amongst this group, besides maybe Sheryl Crow. And I would say maybe Cyndi Lauper.
And Willie Nelson.
Or Willie Nelson, of course. Oh yeah.
No, but I agree about Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah. I think like the elder statesmen are like, probably like, oh yeah. Like Warren should have been in like 20 years ago. So, any other thoughts on Warren Zevon before we move on to our last little segment really quick?
No, put him in.
Say it now or forever hold your pistol.
Let's get him in there.
I think he does have a really good shot. I would almost bet on it happening because it just seems like, you know, and plus the other good thing is like people would perform for him. And yeah, I think he has a great shot. Let's end our conversation by saying if we had a ballot, who would we vote for? So I'm going to like, let us think of the 14 artists. And then we just say the five that we would vote for, like on the fan vote, or if we had an actual official ballot. And I'll go with Mark first, cause I know Mark posted his.
I did. Yeah. So this ballot isn't really stacked with artists I'm personally invested in, but it's not hard to eke out five people I'd vote for. For me, spinners are a lock. If they show up, I'll vote for them. I don't care who else is on the ballot. They've got my vote. Kate Bush is clearly the second name I would gravitate towards, both in terms of personal affinity and long-term significance. I just this whole raft of singer-songwriters and particularly women who had the freedom to be a bit more weird and eccentric and write their own material. I mean, it's scandalous that she was the first person, the first woman, I think, to write her own number one song in England. It's shocking that it took that long for it to happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kate Bush, A Tribe Called Quest, number three, Willie Nelson, number four. And I really, the fifth vote, I'm a bit more ambivalent towards. I'd probably do Rage Against the Machine just because it's harder to tell the story of the 90s without Rage than it is to tell the story of the 80s without Cindy or George Michael. And people might argue with that, and that's perfectly okay. But so just in some, spinners, Kate Bush, A Tribe Called Quest, Willie Nelson, and Rage Against the Machine. If I had a ballot, that's who I'd vote for. And if I had a hammer, I'd smash patriarchy.
You had to bring up Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Always,
because we did an episode on them, and check them out, because I actually got compliments from friends. They're like, I knew nothing about Peter, Paul, Mary, and they loved it. So I was like, honored. And I was like, that's why we bring Mark on the show, because he's always great. Greg, who would be your five?
Just at this moment right now, thinking of it, probably White Stripes, George Michael, Missy Elliott, The Spinners, and Kate Bush.
Good choices. Michelle, who would be your five?
This is just knee-jerk, my taste. And I could do another one intellectually about how everything fits into the story, but just my taste. Cindy, George Michael, The Spinners, Warren Zevon, Kate, and then honorable to Iron Maiden, because I try to stick up for metal sometimes.
Rock on, Michelle. Tom, who'd be your five?
Very tough to narrow down to five, but I'd probably go with Sheryl Crow, George Michael, Willie Nelson, Spinners, and Warren Zevon.
David, who's your five?
Sheryl Crow, Missy Elliott, Cyndi Lauper, George Michael, and Willie Nelson. Did I say him?
No, you didn't say.
Sheryl Crow, Missy Elliott, Cyndi Lauper, George Michael, Willie Nelson. Those five.
That's a good five. So if I had a ballot, I would vote for Sheryl Crow, Missy Elliott, The White Stripes, The Spinners, and I'll throw Kate Bush a bone because, you know, always running up that hill, and I got to support my girl Kate anytime I can. So yeah, those are all incredible picks. Thank you all so much for coming on the podcast. Agree to come on the night of the nominations announcement. It means a lot to me that you guys would do that. And thank you, Nick.
And I appreciate that this podcast is sort of one of the linchpins of the Rock Hall community. A Rock Hall fan community, Rock Hall critic community at large. So thank you for doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. And I always get requests to do more Rock Hall related stuff. And then I always try to use it as a, like if we're going to do it, we're going to do it for like a justified reason. And reacting to the ballot or the results is always like, oh, it's always one of the best episodes we do each year. But yeah, I'm so glad. Do we want to do some social media plugs before we call it a day? Okay.
So I'll go.
So let's start with Mark.
Yes. As mentioned before, I study professional losers, being an amateur loser myself. So my podcast looks at unsuccessful presidential candidates. It's called The Also-Rans. And all of our social media output is at AlsoRanPod. One word. And you can read my stuff as well at the Northumbrian Countdown.
Excellent. Tom, where could they find you?
Twitter at JetFan1. My blog, Tom Lane's Music Blog, easy to Google that one. And Facebook, I'm out there too. Easy, Tom Lane. There's a few Tom Lanes out there, but you'll probably find me easy posting on music and stuff like that.
If you have to look really closely, it's the one who's posted about the spinners. That's the easiest way to figure out which Tom Lane it is. It's the one on Teddy talking about Philly Soul.
Or about what another lousy year the Jets had, something like that.
Oh, as a native New Yorker who is a Jets fan, I can tell you. Yeah. That's a conversation for another day.
That sums it up. That sums up 2022.
Oh, it certainly does. Greg, where can they find you?
At Greg Purach, and my last name is spelled P-E-U-R-A-C-H.
Excellent. And Michelle, where can they find you?
iconicrocktalkshow.wordpress.com is the blog, and my Twitter handle is weird. It's MB1A32.
Excellent. And David, where can they find you?
They can't. I deleted my Twitter.
Oh, yes. You deleted everything. Aren't you on Instagram, though?
Yeah, but I don't know. No, I'm not really anywhere they could find me. You can find me on Facebook, I guess.
Yeah. To yourself.
Or if I come back here, you'll find me.
Yeah. You'll just be on the show. And I'll send anything that they send to you.
Yeah, if I'm invited back.
Of course.
Spell your last name for everyone so they can find you on Facebook.
Oh, okay. S-C-H-N-E-L-W-A-R. I'm David. David Schnellwar.
Great. And you guys,
I'm the only one with that name.
If you're the only one with that name, I think my name too. It's like very few Nicholas Bampacks. Well, there might be, I don't know. But you guys, of course, follow the podcast Twitter account and Instagram account. It's at Rock and RetroPod. We're also on Facebook as well. You can, of course, follow me at Nick D. Bamback on Twitter. And you can find me on Facebook as well. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We love to hear your thoughts on these episodes. We produce a lot of wonderful content like this episode. And we just would love to hear if we're doing something good or if you want to hear something else or whatever. Keep it positive, hopefully. And thank you, David, Tom, Greg, Mark, and Michelle for coming on the show. It means a lot to me. And I hope everyone enjoyed the episode, and we'll catch you guys later.